go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you are listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we will explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to the renewal of the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
And our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, families, as well as parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. We want to welcome all of our new listeners, and if you are joining us for the first time, we're in the midst of a wonderful series that we believe is critical to the rebuilding and renewal of the American Catholic Church.
Our series is called The Call to Return to Biblical Christianity, and we've been on a very exciting journey into that wonderful book, The Acts of the Apostles, where we're rediscovering the characteristics that made the early Christians such a powerful force. We're pulling together scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church, and we're being challenged on how we too can start to live as these early Christians did.
We've been following St. Paul, and we have visited two well-known cities with him in the Bible times, Corinth and Ephesus. And then last week, we discussed how St. Paul, after his third missionary journey began, he went to Ephesus. And there was a significant visitation of the Holy Spirit that took place with extraordinary miracles, and large numbers came to the Lord. And he stayed there almost 3 years, training his disciples at the school of Tyrannus. Mm-hmm. Let's just refresh on the scripture here from Acts 19, 11, and 12, and see what the Holy Spirit did. Mm-hmm. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that when the handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, their diseases left them and the evil spirits came out of them. So last week we pointed out a very important observation from this scripture, that there is a great level of supernatural spiritual activity happening that, Peter, we don't often see today in our modern times, do we?
That's exactly right. In many ways, we've become both secularized, as the popes have been speaking of, towards these demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, and we have relegated these kinds of happenings in the church to the first century only. But we noted in our discussion that St. Luke recorded these incidents, Leslie, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to keep before us the spiritual realities that surround us, no matter what century we live in, and yes, here especially in the 21st century.
We need it now more than ever.
Amen to that. We are reminded that St. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power.
So both St. Luke and St. Paul were talking about demonstrations of the Holy Spirit that came in power.
Yes. And we also spoke last week about the cessationist view, or cessationism, which is the disappearance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether it is sudden or gradual. This view is held by many Protestant settings. That's not to be critical, Leslie, but it's true. But Catholics, on the other hand, have had a history of accepting the supernatural up to our present day.
And the lives of the saints demonstrate that.
Yes, very often. The question becomes for us, why does the Lord want to give signs and wonders to the church today? What's our answer to that, Leslie?
That was a key takeaway from our discussion last week. Yep. And the answer is, the Lord does use signs and wonders to confirm the proclamation of the gospel, which is the kerygma. And that's what he wants to do. But secondly, because he cares for his people, and signs and wonders are a clear expression of his love and his mercy.
Mm-hmm. In addition, we shared that signs and wonders have been a part of Catholic spirituality, not only to confirm the canonization of saints, we're very familiar with, but also of the ministry of countless Catholic faithful, including clergy, consecrated religious, and the laity throughout the Catholic Church history.
Well, it was definitely exciting, Peter, to see that the Lord's power that was demonstrated among the believers in Acts didn't end with the apostles. But to be honest, Peter, sometimes we don't think that we have enough faith to really step out and work in that realm of supernatural signs and wonders.
Very true.
And I think that Jesus even said, if we have faith as the size of the grain of a mustard seed, which is a very small amount, we can say to this mountain, be thou removed into the sea, and there'll be nothing that's impossible for us.
Yes, and we mentioned last week about Saint Hilary from Gaul, who talked about how we grow into these signs and wonders and supernatural activity. And he said that this is a realm of our faith that grows gradually as we mature. So it starts small, but as we mature,
like then, a mustard seed.
Yeah, then the power of God can increase as well. So one of the things we did last week is we ended by giving five practical ways that we can get involved in the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives.
And start small.
Right, and start small. And we said, first of all, we can make it a habit to invite the Holy Spirit to come and be present daily. In Revelation 21:17, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And the bride is us. And it's encouraging us to say, come in Revelation. In fact, I've made it a habit, Leslie, of making this the first prayer when my eyes open in the morning. Just simply, come Holy Spirit. Secondly, we look for opportunities to pray one-on-one. When we pray for somebody in the immediacy of the moment, say you run into somebody at work that is in a crisis, and you offer to pray, there seems to be the Holy Spirit really likes that, and he comes upon that opportunity and that conversation.
And if you want to get more comfortable praying for people, the St. Paul Street Evangelization Outreach actually has a prayer station.
Yes.
And you can start practicing praying for people on an individual basis.
Yeah, exactly. We do that. Thirdly, we encourage people to join a small group, a circle of friends, Catholic friends, where you can pray with a group regularly. Jesus promised that when two or three are gathered together in my name, there he is in the midst. And we've had experience with that as well.
Yes, one of the members of our small group has been battling cancer, and our small group has been praying for him regularly, and we are thankful to the Lord that he is in remission at
yes.
this time.
Yep. Fourthly, we mentioned that if you are married, you can pray with your spouse and family, encourage you to do it on a set regular basis, and develop a prayer list even. That really helps when you come together. You've got a list of people that are sick or in need, and you pray for them on a regular basis. I know we've been doing that for quite a while, Leslie, and there's some people on that prayer list that have been there for a couple years. Fifthly, we can learn to share our faith with a stranger.
Yes, we had an interesting experience one Christmas Eve. We had a knock at the door, and a stranger was there, and he was selling wood on Christmas Eve. Well, we decided to go ahead and buy wood from him because we figured if he's selling wood on Christmas Eve, he must really need the wood.
Yes.
And then, Peter, why don't you share what happened?
Yes, we prayed for him. He had throat cancer, and we prayed for him. And he's now become a friend of ours and helps us in our yard on a regular basis. And then finally, Leslie, we mentioned that when someone is ill, we can take them to a priest for the anointing of the sick, if they're Catholics, of course, and they can receive that wonderful blessing.
Yes, these are all great ways to start small. So we're going to take a short break now. And when we return, we'll see how St. Paul ends his third missionary journey by meeting with the ordained elders of Ephesus. And through this gathering, we're going to learn about St. Paul's priorities for the priestly ministry and how we can more effectively pray for our priests.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy. The selfish become generous.
The bitter become better.
The sinner discovers forgiveness.
And the creator of love is introduced.
It's known to happen here.
Positive change.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. In the series, we've been exploring the call to return to biblical Christianity, and we've been learning why the early Christians were described as those who have turned the world upside down. At the end of St. Paul's third missionary journey, we're going to be with him now in the port city of Miletus. And there, he called for the elders of Ephesus to come and be with him. And we're going to hear this apostle to the Gentiles give a powerful exhortation to those who are leaders in this apostolic church. So, Peter, please set the stage for us.
We've concluded, as Paul concludes his third missionary journey, he makes his way towards Jerusalem, hoping to arrive there before the Jewish Pentecost. He's sailing southward in the Aegean Sea, and the apostle comes to Miletus. And Miletus was an ancient seaport on the western coast of Asia Minor. Now, Paul was going to be there for 2 or 3 days, probably because the ship was changing cargo, and he decided to send for the elders of the church at Ephesus, which was some 30 miles away, that he might briefly visit with them. And we find that Paul, when he addresses them, reminds them that he had been with them for 3 years and closely labored with these church leaders. And now, and this is really intense, anticipating that he will not see them again, he desired to communicate with these ordained of the Lord's church.
So talk to us about these leaders. Who were they?
So it starts out by talking about the elders, Leslie. That word elder is presbyteros, that has evolved as we understand that they are equal to the priests. It's very early in the development of the ecclesiastical leadership, but these were the ordained at the time. And also the word, when Paul says that you're overseers of the flock, the Greek word episkopos is used, that evolved into a bishop's work. So according to scholars, we can't be sure about the line between priests and bishops in this series of scripture, but we know that they were the ordained of the time.
Right, and they were leaders.
Yes.
So how would you describe the message now that Paul delivers to these leaders?
So when you get into this talk to these leaders, it is very intimate and personal. At the beginning of his talk, he opens his heart and presents himself as a model for their church leadership, which is very important as we look at this. After that, he then exhorts them and commends them concerning their unique calling. So these passages, Leslie, as you know, has been very close to me over the years as an evangelical pastor. I would meditate in these and try to take my cues from just the kind of spiritual leadership that Paul was calling forth in these scriptures.
And pray over them.
Right. So let's look at, first of all, Paul presenting himself to these leaders as what a model Catholic leader looks like. First of all, he says, as he begins, he says, I've been serving the Lord with all humility, with tears and with trials, which befell me through the plots of the Jews. And here we see, Leslie, first of all, that St. Paul didn't keep those leaders at an arm's distance. He was vulnerable with them, and even he met with them, and he shed tears and opened up his heart to them.
He had close relationships.
Yeah. So in this first point, as we pray for our priests, Leslie, I would say this. Let's pray for our priests that they are able to model these kinds of relationships, leadership style, and vulnerability. Because Paul was very vulnerable as he modeled that. Secondly, St. Paul labored as a teacher of the gospel and the kerygma. He said, I've been teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both the Jews and the Greeks of repentance to God and faith in our Lord Jesus. So for 3 years, Leslie, he was modeling the importance of teaching simple repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. And as we've talked so much here on this program, the kerygma was at the very center of the preaching in the early church. So secondly, let's pray for our priests that they will proclaim the gospel and share the kerygma as a regular aspect of their ministry.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely needed.
Amen. So thirdly, St. Paul's sacrificial life was focused on accomplishment of the course and ministry that the Lord had given him. Paul said, "Through imprisonment and afflictions await me, but I do not account my life as any value, nor as precious to myself. If only this," and this is the point, Leslie, "I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace." So here Paul is saying that his chief motivation in his ministry was to fulfill the call and use the gifts of God that he had put in his life. I was reminded when I was preparing for this that St. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy, he told him not to neglect the gift that was in him, but to stir it up. So our prayer here is for our priests. Let's pray for our priests that they may fulfill their calling and labor in God's vineyard and use the gifts and talents that God has given them.
Right, because there's so many things that can take them or lead them away from that.
Yes.
We need to pray that.
Yeah. So fourthly, St. Paul said to these elders that he went about preaching the kingdom of God. He said, "And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more." And we've emphasized, as Pope Benedict brought to us, that the kingdom of God is very important to our understanding as Catholic Christians. When Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand," he said, "Repent and believe the gospel." What did Jesus mean by that? He means that the time has now come for God to break into this world as never before and to reveal his glory in a personal way, to comfort his people, and defeat the enemies of the kingdom of God. So our fourth prayer today, Leslie, is we pray for our priests that they proclaim and lead the faithful into the kingdom of God. And then fifthly, Paul said that I'm innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. That's a pretty amazing statement. He's saying, I'm innocent of the blood of all of you. The way I see that is that Paul is reminding them that when you're called to teach and preach and lead and do all that a priest does, that it is a high responsibility. In fact, in the book of James, it says, "Don't let many of you be teachers, my brethren, for you know that we teach, we shall be judged with a greater strictness." So Paul is kind of talking to them, I think, a little bit about the fear of God in their ministry. So a fifth prayer that we can pray for priests based on Paul saying this to these elders, pray for our priests to speak truth and righteousness and be examples, therefore, and thereof to the faithful.
So we see, first of all, here with our ordained leaders, St. Paul is setting himself as an example of godly leadership, and he sets a standard for our priests that I think can only be achieved through the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to take another break now, and when we return, we want to discover the three exhortations that St. Paul gave the Ephesian elders and continue to learn how we can more effectively pray for our priests. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Catholic Radio Indy has a new look. It's our website. Yes, we have a new website that makes everything about Catholic Radio Indy easier. It's clean, straightforward, and simple to use. You can listen to us live, see our schedule, and our map. You can even silence your phone and take it right into Mass to follow the daily readings. And don't forget, you can get all of our programming through the podcast tab. This makes everything so much easier. So just go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and check us out.
Welcome back to our radio program. Go Rebuild My Church. Today we're continuing our series, The Call to Rebuild the Church Here in America Through the Restoration of Biblical Christianity. In our last segment, we discussed how St. Paul called together the Ephesian elders and poured his heart out to them, calling them to imitate the kind of godly leadership he modeled. And then he gave them three exhortations while telling them they would never see his face again.
Leslie, I think that this is absolutely holy ground that the Holy Spirit recorded all of this for us. This is kind of like Paul's last will and testament to these men whom he deeply loved and lived with them for 3 years. The Holy Spirit, I think, takes away the veil and is giving us St. Paul's kind of first century seminary curriculum to these men. Our purpose today, then, is to help our listening audience to know how to pray for our priests using St. Paul's quote-unquote benchmarks for godly leadership. After giving them the five examples that we just talked about of his own godly leadership, he goes on. So let's now look at the three exhortations which can be applied to all Catholic leaders. St. Paul goes on to say, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you guardians."
Well, Peter, what does it mean to take heed to yourself?
Well, I think Paul is saying in the best sense of the word that those called to godly leadership need to be, in the best sense, introspective before the Lord in terms of their daily walk. Jesus, I think, is the great example, right? We saw that before dawn, often he would go out and pray. Prayer is first and foremost a way that a leader is examining himself and taking heed to himself. Secondly, I think ongoing conversion is critical to spiritual leadership, and we have as Catholics, we are gifted with the sacrament of penance, and that is a regular opportunity to experience ongoing conversion. Thirdly, of course, I know that spiritual leaders partake of spiritual direction in their life, and that always helps us take heed to ourselves. And of course, finally, we know that deacons and priests, Leslie, to make a commitment to the liturgy of the hours, and that daily liturgy of the hours is a constant reflection upon ourselves and our walk. So we can say people can pray for their priests that they will have the courage to take heed to themselves. The second exhortation that St. Paul gives them is that he commends them to God and to the word of his grace. And here we are reminded that there's no scriptures that these men are able to give themselves to, but what has taken place is that there is now a deposit of faith, or the oral tradition, I should say, that came from Jesus to the 12 plus Paul. And that oral tradition eventually grew and became the deposit of faith. In fact, just as St. Paul told Timothy to guard what was entrusted to his care, so Paul is telling the leaders to guard what has been entrusted to them, that deposit of faith, and he commends them to that. So here, Leslie, in this exhortation, our prayer is to pray for our priests that they would be faithful to the deposit of faith and the magisterium. Finally, St. Paul said that he did not covet others' money and material goods, that he was detached from those things. He said, "I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel." And you yourself know that these things ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. Now, I like this, Leslie. He says, "In all things I have shown you that by so toiling, one must help the weak." So Paul there is saying that he was showing them in everything he did the model for a spiritual leader. So here we can say this: pray for our priests to grow in detachment from material things and to continue to have a heart to help the weak and the poor.
Well, I think this is really good stuff, Peter, and I've actually been enriched also by the biography of St. Faustina. And interestingly enough, she carried a special burden for priests. I don't know if anybody is aware of this, but in her diary, she talks about how the Holy Spirit revealed to her that there was a priest who was in spiritual danger, and she interceded for that priest, offered herself on his behalf. And then on another occasion, she asked that the Lord would bestow on her all the sufferings and afflictions that her spiritual director, who was a priest, would have to suffer that day. Interestingly enough, she had all kinds of difficulties that day as she carried his sufferings and afflictions, both internal and external.
Yes, she took in his pain, didn't she?
That is right. So as a result, we thought it would be good to end today with St. Faustina's prayer for priests.
And Leslie, as I went through this prayer, I was amazed at how many things that she prays for priests are the things that St. Paul was talking to these Ephesian elders about. And as you listen to this prayer, I think you'll see that. So listen to Faustina's prayer.
And pray it with us.
Yes. Heavenly Father, grant that our priests be strengthened and healed by the power of the Eucharist they celebrate. May the word they proclaim give them courage and wisdom. We pray that all those whom they seek to serve may see in them the love and care of Jesus, our eternal high priest, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Church, look tenderly upon your sons, our priests. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us all. O my Jesus, I beg you on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and light of your spirit, and give power to the words of the priest, so that hardened hearts might be brought repentance and returned to you, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. You yourself maintain them in holiness, O divine and great high priest. And may the power of your mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's snares, which are continually being set. For the souls of priests, may the power of your mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that may tarnish the sanctity of priests, for you can do all things. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect individuals, families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And if you would like to learn more about the priests who serve in our listening audience, please tune in to our new radio show on Catholic Radio Indy called Sons of Melchizedek, so you can pray for our priests more effectively. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.